a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls the string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride. They claim to seek a new world order, nations without borders, but don't believe the lie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Resurrect the Republic. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer on the RBN Network. How's everybody doing tonight? I'll be your host this evening. Normally this show is hosted by Thomas LaGuevara. Tom is sitting in jail in Lane County, Oregon, being unlawfully held on a victimless offense. And I want people to keep Tom in their prayers, and we'll give out some numbers to call tonight so people can keep the pressure on Sheriff Byron Trapp of Lane County. That's L-A-N-E, and of course, we always want to give the Vicar General a call, along with the Judicial Vicar, and we'll have those numbers forthcoming shortly. I wanted to welcome everyone to the show tonight. If anybody's interested in calling in and participating, the call-in number to this show is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. I'd like to start this evening off with some scripture to give us strength in these times of persecution, which we are all hoping and praying will be winding down and coming to a lovely end here very shortly. When the administration changes and the memo goes out from Jeff Sessions, the new attorney general, that this patriot purge and this patriot persecution will cease and desist immediately or else. And it needs to be worded that way, or else. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple and my cry from his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness canopies around him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, coals of fire were kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. Excuse me while I settle down my dogs. Boys, stop it. He sent arrows and scattered them, lightning bolts, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world were uncovered, at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out from out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. The cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyes. With the merciful you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man you will show yourself blameless. With the pure you will show yourself pure. And with the devious you will show yourself shrewd. You will save the humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty, that you may bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all those who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. He makes me my feet like the feet of deer, and he sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. And I have destroyed them and wounded them so they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. Thank you all for joining us tonight. Once again, so this is Eric the Freedom Screamer on Resurrect the Republic, sitting in for Tom LaCavara on the RBN Network. If you'd like to join the show, the number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Of course, I welcome your calls. As always, we have some fantastic listeners, some brilliant listeners, and if they'd like to call in, that would be good. We have already Johnny B. in Missouri. Johnny B., how are you, my old friend?
Evening, brother. How you been?
Very well. Well, hanging in there. The times could be better, but they also could be worse. I'm trying to focus on the blessings amid all the sorrow and suffering that's going on out there. It's great to hear your voice. How you been?
Oh, about the same. Just busy as all get out. Are you still in your
travel home? What do you got going
on
these days, Johnny? Tell us about your latest projects. What do you got going on?
Well, Joyce Riley brought something forward last April. That was an initiative launched down in southern Texas called America Again. And, oh my gosh, it's an itemized, thoroughly thought out action plan to put this country back on its feet, as it should be. But herein lies the problem. The way this country was structured to run was for righteous, upright living people to stay at their post and manage
this business we call government. Okay?
Right.
And as we all know, as we study our history, they ran into some issues when they came over from the East. First thing they found out was that the royal houses of Europe were lying to them about these white apes, these white hairless apes that were running around the country. For one thing, they weren't white. They were red and brown and black and yellow. Okay? And then they found out that they wasn't going to eat them. As a matter of fact, they tried their best to help them out because they treated the treated the immigrants as brothers in the family of man. Some of them.
Yeah, because you will.
Right?
Absolutely. Okay. But here's a little background on what the immigrants didn't realize, and even the native nations didn't realize up to that point. The royal houses had been seeking a way to come over and harvest the riches that they had heard about from the court of King Solomon. Okay? That's why the Spanish went into South America, and their specific intent was looking for gold, silver, and precious stones. That was the mandate. When they got done in South America, the lieutenants of Cortez and the rest of that nefarious group, when they got back to Europe, the royal houses told them, okay, now there's another land north of the one that you all visited there, and you should find the same riches there that you found in South America. And that's how you're going to set your family up. Well, what they didn't realize was how structured the lines of communication were in the Western Hemisphere. And by the time the lieutenants made their trip back across the big pond and landed in North America, the native peoples knew what was up and what was going to be going on. And they encouraged those explorers to go further inland and seek the riches. And, of course, further inland was where they ran into the defensive units that were stationed to eradicate the situation. Now, as these explorers came in, they realized that the native peoples had a very well-structured society, for one thing, the forward-thinking explorers. And they realized that they would be better off if they set up some kind of a trade treaty with the natives and dealt with them on an even playing field. And that's what kind of opened up the doors for the new world to start being inhabited. But my whole point of that is the only intent that the royal houses was to get into these countries and harvest the resources. That's always been that intent.
Sounds kind of like what's going on today, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It is exactly what's going on today. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed under the sun, guys. It's all the same old program. But it's up to the people of God, people of the Father, the Creator, to pay attention to making the correct choices, making the right choices, the ones that help. And that's what America Again is all about. As David puts it, we're calling forth the righteous remnant of the repentant Protestants that are left in this country. Because the majority of the people that came over early on, they were all Protestant. Simply because of the persecution that the Holy Roman Church was putting on them over there. And that's why we didn't have Christmas. The immigrants didn't bring Christmas with them. It was the Catholics that had that Christmas holiday. So you think about that. It was also the Protestants that said, we're not going to let lawyers in this country. But they got in anyway. But they had to. You know, if you can't handle your businesses, if you cannot sue and be sued, you're going to have somebody speaking for you. Or you're a victim laying on the field. So, We've got a mighty task in front of us. But America Again, our very first action item with America Again, is ratify the 28th Amendment. And what we have put forward for the 28th Amendment is actually the First Amendment, as written. The delineation on congressional districts, which according to that Article 1 of the original Bill of Rights, was supposed to have been capped at 50,000, a population of 50,000 citizens per district, period. So that's our first initiative. You want to go any further than that, you're going to have to get David's book. He's got a free e-book on the website that lays out the whole plan, guys. Everything's right there, black and white. We ain't hiding from nobody. We ain't got nothing stuck up our sleeve. This is what we're going to do. And by the grace of God, we got a reprieve. We've got this man, Donald Trump. He doesn't know any idea. He has no idea what he's got himself into. But if anybody could do it, he's the man to do it.
Yeah, best chance right now.
Best chance, absolutely. Well, I wanted to call in, Eric, because I had the opportunity late last year. Had a friend off of one of our weekly calls was starting a YouTube channel. It's Revolution News and Information. And he wanted to get me on to start sharing some time, and I just took a slot that was, you know, open. I didn't worry about the prime time or none of that crap. And I had mid-afternoon spot for hour. We usually run hour and a half to hour and 45 minutes, sometimes 3 hours, depending on what Toasted had open. And, man, it's hard. Sometimes it is damn hard to talk for an hour by yourself.
Agreed.
And that's kind of the reason why I pulled out, because I wasn't getting any participation. You know, we called the show Taking All Comers with Johnny Two Names. That was a name given to me by the board of directors of the National Liberty Alliance when we had our falling out. They decided to call me Johnny Two Names, and I was like, man, I like that. That's awesome. Thanks, guys. See ya. And I run that. But I'm more commonly known as Johnny B. from Missouri.
Johnny B. from Missouri, that, yep. I'm sure our listeners have heard you before. What a great history lesson that was. I had a question for you about America Again. Was there anything in the platform or the program that included a common law grand jury or a citizen's grand jury, meaning a grand jury of the people independent of the district attorney, who's nothing more than a puppet of the bar that the judge and the defense attorneys, they're all a member of also, and public defenders. Is there any provision or plan to have those in a worst-case scenario where a public officer needs to be indicted but hasn't been because of their intimate connections with the district attorney?
Good question, Eric. And I've dealt with this enough to where I've gotten confident in the answers that I give, okay? And the straight answer is no. But the reason for that answer is that America Again is simply focused on what our government was supposed to be to begin with. What we do with it after that point is up to us, individually as people. You know, some districts might want to embrace the grand juries. I will, absolutely. Because what I see, Eric, is you've got America Again making the best effort to rein in Congress. Congress is our problem. It's those backbiting, yada, 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 so many explanatives that I can't even come up with enough of them. But to stay uncolorful, they're a bunch of criminals. And they like it because nobody's looking over their shoulder. The
and how would you rein them
in the manner?
How would you suggest reining them in? Was there? Did I hear that there was something in your platform of bringing them closer to home?
Absolutely. Yep. That's the second step in the plan, is to bring Congress home. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now,
try to get them more connected with the local community they're supposed to be representing, rather than just a special interest lobbyist who come in their office in D.C. with a big fat check.
Absolutely.
But let me play the other side of that. let me play the other side of that. If we're still dealing with the same corrupt individuals, do we want them closer to our home, or do we want to send them off to Bimini or someplace as far away as possible and try to clean house that? I don't know. What do you think about that, Johnny? Is that a valid point, or am I being too paranoid?
Yeah, it's absolutely a valid point. Absolutely. You're just a little off target. And David gets into a pretty in-depth description on why you're a little off target, and it's easily missed. Our elected officials, it doesn't matter how righteous they are in your neighborhoods, when you elect them and you send them off to D.C., for some reason, those people are tainted. They drink the Kool-Aid. They get into the poisonous waters, or however you want to term it. It's not our Congress that is criminal. Our Congress is apathetic. It's the lobbyists and the law firms and all the special interests that have ingrained themselves into Washington, D.C., the district. They write all the laws. Our legislators don't even read them. We can't read them. According to Nancy Pelosi, we can't even read them until they pass it. Wait a minute, guys. That was a big-time slap in the face there, folks. Wake up.
But when we open up our other 5,500-plus seats that are supposed to be in Congress, we've got a plan put together called the Good Guys Program. And what we're looking to do is seat at least two-thirds of genuine, righteous statespeople, statesmen and stateswomen, into those seats. And their first act that they're going to do when they go to Congress for the first time, it'll be a one-day deal. They'll go into Congress and they'll say, hey, we're going to pass this resolution the people want. We're going to make our representatives serve the government from the district they were elected from. We're going to have their salaries. Their salaries are going to be capped at $90,000 a year, period. If you can't live on $90,000 for a year, something's wrong. Something's seriously wrong. We're going to remove their staff. House representatives, the representatives in the House will have two members for their office staff. That's it. Senators will get four or six. I don't know. I think they changed that. They might move that up to six. Because all your senator is an ambassador from the state to the national government. That's all the senator is. That's why they only.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, David has really, well, he's put 9 years and over 28,000 hours studying this thing. It's an awesome plan, guys. All you got to do is get in there and just briefly read his book, Fear of the People. His part of the book is done at 82 pages. It's 237 pages, I believe. But the rest of the material is just his appendages and his reference material on how he got to the positions that he stands with in those first 82 pages. It's an amazing refresher and a good start on getting a real education on what our history was supposed to be and where it's gone wrong.
Okay, repeat the title slowly, Johnny B.
Fear the People by David Zeniga. Now, you can go on to Amazon and you can pay $47 for that book. You can get a hold of Joyce at the Power Hour and pay $30 for the hard copy. Or you can go online and get the PDF for free. Now is the time. You are the person. We are the people. We are the ones that are supposed to be in there doing this. We're the employers, guys. That's something David's real animate about. We're employers. We employ these people to do our representation. Now, how many people that own a company and have people that work for them, how many of them people protest their employees to do what they want? Run around out in front of the business holding a sign, please listen to me. Come on, guys, think about this. Quit acting like slaves.
quit acting like slaves.
Excellent, Johnny. Okay, so where's the online presence again for America Again? Is it americaagain.net?
americaagain.net, that is the original homepage. We've got letstrumpdc.org and .com. We're starting to see some mirror sites come into play, where they're trying to start dulling our edge. But come on, guys, they're trying to dull the edge of the Lord. Think about that.
Well, this happens in every case. It happened to many organizations, namely one you cited before. They seem to either be careful who you join up with, folks, because some organizations have been co-opted and others are being duplicated, and it's hard to find the real thing and know if that real thing's genuine. But I've listened to one of America Again's conference calls. This is very real, and it seems to be a great plan for a top down type of fix. And the next hour or after the break at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk about some bottom-up fixes as well. I wanted to read, once again, I read this the other night, but I wanted to reiterate this. I'm just a little bit of a synopsis from a book called The Plutonists. What I'm going to indicate by telling you all this is how bad government can go, and governments, military complex, medical industrial complex, financial industrial complex, and all these kind of fascist-like interbreedings between the public and the private. As Hillary Clinton, Kim Jong-Hillary said, we need to have more public-private partnerships. Public-private partnerships. That means the private people masquerading as public officers are stealing our private property. That's the long and short of that. But here's how bad it goes if we don't get it yet.
There's something else there, too, guys. When you think about that public-private, the public accesses the people's money. And then they pass it off to the private. So when the people start seeing something going wrong and they come forward asking for answers, the public people say, hey, I don't know. We hired this servicer. And they have rules that they say they can't talk. So you're going to have to go into court. Well, now you're begging at the plate of the vicar general. Come on. It's easy to see, guys, when you start getting the information under you. Go ahead, Eric. I'm sorry.
No problem, Johnny. Great points. Here's from just a little synopsis of this book, and I'm going to get into reading some of this over the air because it's a fascinating book, and it really does illustrate just factually from the government's own documents how they are willing to execute lethal, fatal, death-causing experimentation on their own people, and without their knowledge or consent. Quote, in a Massachusetts school, 73 disabled children were spoon-fed radioactive isotopes along with their morning oatmeal. And we're going to come back after this break, and I'll finish this quote, and we'll get into more later. Johnny B., thank you so much for the call. AmericaAgain.net. Join us at 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com. It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Matt, welcome back. Welcome back to Resurrected Republic. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer sitting in for Tom LaCavara on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Love to welcome you back to the show. I believe we have Keith Jones with us on the line, so we'll be bringing in Keith in a minute for some commentary from the heartland. Keith's out in Kansas, and it's good to get his perspective. He grew up on a farm, and he's got an interesting story to tell, and he's got a great bevy of knowledge in regard to history and common law, self-governing counties, which is, in this half hour, we're going to talk about some bottom-up solutions. Johnny B. was gracious enough to give us some history and some information regarding where this republic came from, how, where we need to go from here to restore our local sovereignty. And AmericaAgain.net wants to bring Congress home. At the same time, if we can fix our counties from the bottom up, our towns and counties, because there's all kinds of things the federal government can and cannot do. Much of the tyranny, I can make a really good case that the tyranny of the local is far worse than the tyranny of the federal. The new gun laws in New York State that claim you can't have more than 10 rounds in your clip. Meanwhile, they're passing exemptions for the police to have as many as they want. When the law first came out, public officer, a peace officer, sheriff, trooper, town cop, every single one of them was in violation of the SAFE Act for like 5 months before they got around to passing an exemption. Of course, you know, it was okay for them because they're the privileged class.
But we're going to talk. We need to do. We need to have a dual. We need to have a top down, and we need to have a bottom up fix as well. Because you know these new gun laws in New York, they're much more restrictive than the federal laws. It's not the feds that are coming in that kicked in the door of Shane Bennett 2 days before Thanksgiving, the year before last. Last year it was not this previous, but the one before. And because he had a minor statutory drug possession in his past 11 years ago when he was a late teenager, the New York State Police SORT unit, they don't call it SWAT, they call it SORT, Special Operations and Response Team, kicked in his door, 3 in the morning, dragged the wife out of bed naked, threatened to shoot the dog who was cowering in the corner, you know, armed to the teeth. They were not wearing uniforms, they were wearing military gear. And it was only because Shane had a minor felony in his past, and there were guns in the house. That's it. He wasn't accused of doing anything, and he already had done his time and his sentence for the minor drug possession 11 years before, which became a felony. So once again, the point I'm making with all this is that's the tyranny of the local. Those were New York State troopers. Oh, and by the way, he didn't trust banks. He didn't want to use a bank, so he had he kept his money in a safe. He had almost $10,000 in there, legitimate money. They had horses and some sheep and chickens, and they'd bring in a hog once in a while, so they were farmers. And he kept his money in a safe, and the New York State Police took $5,000 from his safe. He had $10,000 in there, and they booked $4,500 into evidence. And one of the judges actually said that 3 out of 5 cases that come before his court have evidence of the New York State Police stealing people's property in these types of raids like this, and stuff that's not even, you know, this big with a big blowout and the door kicking and minor stuff along the road, just taking stuff. So it became very problematic, and I hope they finally cleaned house up there, but I'm not 100% optimistic, because some of the good people that came in to clean house were retired early. So anyway, the tyranny of the local is far worse than the tyranny of the federal in many instances. I know it's both. Obviously, we have the Bundy thing with the Fed. I mean, they're doing, but at the state and local level, it's going on a lot more. For every federal case that you hear that's a Bundy-style case, you know, where the feds are coming and taking the land, like the BLM or whatever the you know, ATF or the DEA, whatever all these unlawful 3-letter agencies are doing. You know, it's the tyranny. Well, just, you know, multiply that times 100, and that's how many local situations you have. For every Bundy, there's 100 Shane Bennetts. That's what I was trying to say. So the tyranny of the local, I mean, the woman who got arrested for growing tomatoes in her front yard, and where was it, Detroit? This is a story a couple of years back. That wasn't a federal thing. Those were your local commissars. So there's 100, maybe 1,000 of those for every one case of the federal tyranny. The federal tyranny are big blowouts. Those are productions. Those are Hollywood. They enhance. I mean, I know it was very real. I'm not saying it was staged, but I'm saying they enhance it. The government makes a big production through CNN and Fox and all these other pimps and hoes on the radios and TV. So the tyranny of the local is far worse than the tyranny of the federal. It's just as bad and 1,000 times more pervasive. So I think while we're doing the top-down solution of getting Congress back to its people and doing what it's supposed to do and stop doing what it's not supposed to do, that we also have to resurrect our republic at this town and county level. So with that, I'm just going to welcome Keith, and then Keith can throw in whatever he wants to. This show will just kind of go where it goes tonight. We may play a clip in a little while. We'll see. So Keith, are you with us? Can you hear me, my friend?
Yes, I'm with you. I was just going to say, make comment. Were you going to finish reading your article or part from your book first?
Go for it, Keith.
No, you were starting to read something from a book just before the break.
Oh, that's right. Oh, wow. Yes, thank you for reminding me that. This is how bad it gets when you allow a government to go out of control at the highest levels and become fascistically, that means like fascism, intertwined in these public-private partnerships where the military-industrial complex is joining like Siamese twins with the medical-industrial complex in this case,
and of course also what happens in the financial, with the financial industrial, and the educational industrial complex, and the pharmaceutical industrial complex, and the energy industrial complex, which would be big oil and the electric companies that are monopolizing. So, oh, by the way, our Rochester Gas and Electric and New York State Electric and Gas, which services almost all of upstate New York, is owned by Iberdrola of Spain, which is basically the big block stockholder in that would be King Juan Carlos of Spain, who I saw on the cover of the International magazine dressed up as a witch, as a Luciferian with a black robe and a big stone emblem on his, kind of where his throat is. Like, you could see it was a satanic moniker. I forget the exact shape it was in, but it was clear what he was doing. Sitting there staring right at the camera like he was God and King of the Earth, and he's trying to be. And in many ways, you know, in his evil mind he is. We can't let it happen. But anyway, so there's monopolies developing. And when the government becomes intertwined with the energy industrial complex, you know, the King of Spain's not interested in us having cheap electricity. I believe it's up to 18 cents a kilowatt hour in upstate New York, and that's an obscene amount. There's small communities that seem to do it just fine on 5 to 8 cents a kilowatt hour. Many communities around here do that. So it's a matter of just getting ripped off and our money's going overseas. But anyhow, this is how bad it gets when we let our Congress critters do what they want to do and just kind of pull that lever that has a D or an R next to it, you know, R for retard, D for dingleberry. They're both working for the bankers and the industrial establishment, public-private partnerships that would do such things as this. In a Massachusetts school, 73 disabled children were spoon-fed radioactive isotopes along with their morning oatmeal. In an upstate New York hospital, an 18-year-old woman, believing she was treated for a pituitary disorder, was injected with plutonium by Manhattan Project doctors. At a Tennessee prenatal clinic, 829 pregnant women were served, quote, vitamin cocktails. In truth, the drinks contained radioactive iron for part of their prenatal treatment. Okay, now that's just a little snippet of what's this packed through this book, and it's amazing. One of the hospitals, Strong Memorial, I've always heard from local people that there was an underground facility under Strong Memorial Hospital in Rochester, New York. I said, yeah, okay, sounds kind of, you know, well, I'm sure there possibly could be, but who knows, and it sounds a little bit out there, but, and then I started getting reports from people. One guy worked for the company that dug in the graveyard, and they keep knocking through to hollow ground underneath into some type of facility, and they're always pulled off the job. And I started getting reports from other people that say, I've been down there. And what's going on is so horrible, I don't ever want to go back. And then I open, and I'm like, well, still hearsay, maybe, Then I open up the book, and it's all in here. They part of their credo is, we can't let the people know what we're doing because the greater good is our medical research. I mean, that's really what it came down to. And they were all a bunch of Dr. Mengeles. I'll get into reading from this book a little later. It may be tonight, maybe not, maybe for another night. Because there was an interesting clip we were going to get Mike on the board to play. But, Keith, why don't you make some comments? What do you think about that quote? And then get off on some other stuff. And then maybe next hour we'll play the clip. And I believe it's regard to the Ammon Bundy situation. So we'll just let that speak for itself when we hear the clip. But, Keith, we got about 15 minutes. What do you have to share with us? And what do you think of the all these Dr. Mengeles? And I don't mean to be any type of lighthearted jest. This is some serious evil that's going on. I mean, really, 73 disabled children were spoon-fed radioactive isotopes in their morning oatmeal so the doctors could see what's going on. And this ain't that long ago. Most of these people are still around. And where's the outrage? Where's the prostitutes? Where's the blonde prostitute on Fox and Finks, a face that could sink 1,000 ships, libelous pig? Where's the outrage from her? That's okay, though. Yeah, we can talk about it's okay to steal land from the American people, but you know, no problem spoon feeding radioactive isotopes to disabled children. to get outraged over something that the Bundys are doing or something that the Hammonds are doing, and it's okay to spoon-feed radioactive isotopes to disabled children. Isn't that lovely? So anyway, Keith, I'll calm down here for a second and let you take over for a while. I'm going to put myself on mute. Go ahead, Keith. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm doing fine. You really don't want me to get on my soapbox on that part because that's another part of my whole life, and I don't want to go down that road if I can avoid it.
You can take this anywhere you want to, Keith. Everything's on the table.
Well, I understand, but I'm making the comment because I've been doing some of the same fighting what you're talking about since '72, and seen some incredible things that people just sit there and cringe over in real life, if you understand what I'm saying. And so a lot of it I just try to avoid because people would never believe half of it unless they were actually there, or if they were actually treated that way, they wouldn't even know what to do or how to act even. Some of it I just try to avoid because it's just not worth it. And you got to understand the group of people you're talking about, the disability people, is the largest single minority group in this country, and it is treated still yet to this day as a second-class citizen. We have no voice anywhere because people want to ignore us. I mean, very honestly, I hate saying it, but realistic, homeless people actually have more say than we do in a lot of ways. Now, I understand, yes, a lot of people homeless are disabled, but if you put them percentage of homeless people to the percentage of disability community, there's still a whole lot more homeless people, especially now, because most of them are there because of the economic reasons. But what has that have to do with disabilities? It has nothing. So the point is that, you know, there's a group of people that's never been heard. I share with people all the time, less than 1% of the disability community has ever shown or done any help, gone through the government to get any help besides what they need through social services or Social Security, because it's not worth it. They do everything paperwork, but they don't do anything as far as actually help them. We were told back in the early 70s, we'll set up training facilities. Well, I'm still waiting for my first training facility to see to hire or train people with disabilities. A lot of people with disabilities don't even finish high school. All they get is a letter of completion. What good is that? You know, the whole thing is, I've sit here and watched people come up behind people in wheelchairs who are paraplegics and grab a hold of them and push them down the street and for fun of it, and then just take them off the curb and dump them in the mud puddle and say, well, now if you ever get to learn to get out of your wheelchair, you wouldn't have to live like this. I mean, there's just it's so much. I was in Seattle. I have a legitimate vision eyesight problem. I can give you 5 inches worth of paperwork to prove it because all the research that I've been through, okay? And two guys sit down and says, well, some people use anything for a con to use to get money out of people. And I turn around and said, excuse me, folks, how long and how much paperwork would you like? I said, you have two choices. You can apologize or walk away.
How much of the money that the federal government takes in our taxes that's claiming to be for disabilities, like the Disabilities Act and all the agencies, how much do you think actually gets back to the disabled community, Keith?
I can honestly tell you less than 1%. Give you an example. When the last official budget came out that I knew of, for the disability community through VR, it came out at $1.2 billion. That was it. That's all we got to be able to use. The veterans got almost $10 billion to do the same thing.
What was the scam with Microsoft and that training session that never happened? You want to expose that?
Do what now?
Weren't you telling me about, was it Microsoft that was running a training school?
It's not Microsoft. There's a program out of Arkansas. Okay.
Oh, Arkansas.
And it's been around for years and years.
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Example for people on how you know, the government's using the disabled community, you know, as a complete scam to take money, and then none of it ever gets back to the people who need it, as usual with everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, it's one of the major organizations that own the school down there and work with the government to be able to help support the school. And then you go through the program, but then you have to go back to the state where you come from, and then if VR feels like it, they may, if they want to, do something and might even help you find a job if they feel like they want to do something. So it's a no-win situation still. I mean, it's a bit, this is why I keep going back to doing this and push so hard for people to grab a hold of and understand it, we've got to start at a local level. Okay? And we've got to set up the self-governing counties, because with that, we eliminate a lot of problems that we have otherwise. We eliminate the education part. We eliminate people if they need to be specially trained. I mean, they're just a whole... And everybody says, well, where are you going to get all the money for all this? Well, you know, if we go through and we sit down and look at, if we get rid of all the taxes that people have to pay, I mean, how much money is that going to allow people to have otherwise? First thing. The second thing, if people sincerely, if they start having them, and there's a lot of good people out there who still want to give and help people out, but yet they say, well, what's the one facility that's used maybe a week, 10 days a year, and that's it? Every county's got one. It's called a fairgrounds. And how many people and how many things, if you can sit down and do fundraisers and help out your country or your county and city, if you sit down and start doing things? I know of several Christian artists. I've actually been a part of a group of people who had Christian artists come call me and say, you know, we're coming from here to here, and we have an extra night, we'd like to come and play. Well, all it's going to cost you just for, you know, taking, well, let's put the purse. I don't care. I mean, I can think of hundreds of ways to sit down and raise money, but people don't, you know, they don't think that way.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, that's a great idea. Why not use the fairgrounds also to relieve some of the homeless problem? Why can't they give them something there rather than if they want to?
I make comment to people all the time. You've got to learn one key principle, people. Anything that's paid for by tax dollars is public property. Okay? When you get a hold of that, that means, you know, it's like when you walk down the street. Okay, from the street in 10 feet is public property. It's an easement, they call it. Okay, it's the same thing you go into the country. When you get off the road, you have from off the road up to 50 feet. It's an easement. That is public property. We have the right and authority to do whatever we want to on that 50 or 10 feet. I've watched out how many people who are shooting video doing whatever, okay? And the law enforcement wants to hassle. And I'm like, you guys don't know the law. I wanted to pitch a tent here legally. I could do it. There's nothing you can do it because it's public property. There's a good example a couple of years ago. Some kids set up a lemonade stand. I don't remember what was that now. On public property. And police came through and said, well, you got to have a permit. And I sit there thinking, you got to have permit for what? For public property to be able to do what you want to do? And so they had to shut it down. Well, where I come from, Iowa, there were some kids doing the same thing. They were on private property. Okay? And guess who bought most lemonade? It was law enforcement. I mean, it's... We've got that's why, again, the self-governing deal has got to be a key principle for how we're going to save the country. And just for everyone doing it, they were originally set up three types of self-governing. They're originally the British, which is, again, where we are today. They're controlling the whole thing. They're proprietary, which is a mixture between British and charter, okay, where they still want to have their little toehold in, like they do now. Or there's charter, when we... the people take control and do what we need to do the governing part of this country individually on an individual city or town or township. It's the only way it's going to happen, folks. We've got to get we've got to come 100% independent in the sense of having another country control us, or a monarchy, or however you want to say it, control us as a country. We're one, the monarchy controls 120 countries in this world. And so when all this happens, there's going to be a big fall of a lot of stuff that happens that people, unless you know a little bit, you'll never see it happen. You won't know what to do with it all. Go ahead.
Keith, explain to the listeners what a charter is.
A charter is a simply an easy terms of it is like a business plan. Okay? It is a document that basically is set up to explain the self-governing county in itself of what it is and what you're going to be doing. Okay? In other words, you're going to be taking over the school system. You're going to have yourself commissioners who are going to be the people who final say the laws are going to go on and make sure they're constitutional or however you want to say them, and the benefits for the city or the citizens there. It's just a working document to build and make that town and township the best it can as a group of people who are now self-governing.
It's like a declaration.
Yeah. But it's a working document because it can be added to make things better. Let's say, for instance, the federal government wants to start having problems. They want to start coming in. Well, we can add that into that charter and say, you know, if the federal government comes and opposes whatever, well, you have two choices. You can turn around and leave, or we have in our charter that we can arrest you and charge you with X amount of time in prison. Again, we the people have the authority to do what is necessary and do what needs to be done. And benefit is we get away from all these special interest groups as well. Good example, where I come from. Okay, we have a river that's very churned and very, you know, not a big deal. It's a big river. Well, they say, well, we'll build a dam on this thing and, you know, control the flooding a little bit. Okay, good idea. The problem is there's another major river that comes straight down the middle of the state almost. It's almost a straight river. And so when the water and the flooding starts happening, that water starts moving at 70, 80 mile an hour. Okay, you have the river here. It's got the dam. That water comes in at 50, maybe 55, 60 mile an hour. But which one's going to get priority to go down the stream? And what's going to happen to the river that's slowly moving? It's going to back up. It's going to flood everything. But the great person that had that history where the dam was bent, oh, this is what we need to do. And the people that had the straight river, well, they had no say about it. And that's, it's crazy. Take a break. Eric?
Sounds good. Keith, thank you. We'll be right back after this break. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer with Keith in Kansas. We'll be right back on the RBN Network.
I'm not interested in
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is RBN, The Republic Broadcasting Network.